from LPM.
Louisville Public Media.
Support for LPM podcasts comes from the Eye Care Institute and Butchertown Clinical Trials, where they strive for diversity, equity, and inclusion within their staff, patients, and clinical trial participants. To learn more, visit butchertown.clinic.
A listener note, this episode contains audio from a traffic stop.
It was early August 2018 when Taeyeon Lee decided to go run some errands. Lee had recently graduated from high school. He'd been homecoming king, was working at a car dealership. But this was his day off, so he got in the car and drove over to Thornton's gas station.
I got my chips, my slushy, and I called my mother because I didn't know how to get money out the ATM. So I didn't know if to click withdrawal, checking, saving.
Taeyeon Lee was 18 years old, baby-faced and soft-spoken, the kind of 18 who makes you realize how young that really is. He lived in Park Duval in the West End. At the gas station, he saw a police officer in an unmarked car eyeing him, and he got nervous.
He stared at me. At that moment, I felt uncomfortable. He gave me the look like, it's going to be a problem.
Lee is testifying to the Louisville Metro Council about this incident. He says he told his mom on the phone about the police officer.
And she told me, you have nothing to worry about. You ain't doing nothing wrong.
By the time Lee left the gas station, though, there were several police officers there.
To pull out, and normally pull out, you have to pull out in front of traffic, but I mean, it's not illegal. But I take a different way because I don't want to give them even no reason to pull me over. So I take a different way to go home. So when I take that way, not even 5 seconds, I look in my mirror and that officer's behind me.
Body camera footage shows Louisville Metro Police Detective Kevin Crawford tailing Lee's orange Dodge Charger. You see Lee's blinker light up as the car makes a right-hand turn, and then the sirens start.
My mom told me to put my hands on the steering wheel. I don't reach for nothing. You keep insurance up here. If you don't have your license out, you know, don't even reach for it. Due to recent videos and encounters with other black men and officers, shootings and everything like that.
What's going on, man? You know, I'm stopping you for?
He came to the car and approached me like, you know, friendly. Hey, bud, you know, I pulled you over. So I didn't know why. And I had trusted him and I had reached for my license and gave him my insurance.
Man, when you turned on here on the Dixie, or 18th Street, you turned in the far left lane, you're supposed to turn in the right lane. So there's two lanes. That's the reason why, man. Are there any weapons in the car? No drugs?
The detective says he just took the turn too wide.
And that's when my mother had called me.
That's a crazy ringtone.
Lee speaks briefly to his mother. He tells her he's been pulled over, then puts her on speakerphone. Another precaution. Detective Kevin Crawford is being exceedingly polite. But as soon as Lee has his mom on the phone, Crawford takes things to the next level.
Do me a favor, put your hands on the steering wheel.
Did you open it up the wheel for?
Man, do me a favor, grab your phone.
Why?
Because I'm telling you, or it's going to fall out when you get out of the vehicle.
Why are you taking me out of the vehicle?
I'll move it up here for you.
Mama, they're taking me out the vehicle.
Don't hop out.
Get out of the car.
He turns Lee around, puts his hands on the car, starts patting him down.
I haven't did anything. Why are you checking me?
I didn't say you did anything. So
why did you take me out the car?
Do you have any drugs, weapons on your
I don't. Yet? I told you that when you asked me the first time. I do mine.
Okay, awesome. Well, I'm going to make sure you don't have any weapons, okay?
No.
Yeah.
That's Crawford's partner, Detective Gabe Hellard, telling Lee that they're allowed to get him out of the car and pat him down.
We're allowed to pat you down for weapons.
Mama, they pat me down.
Yeah, we're allowed to do that.
But you fucking took me out the car.
We're allowed to do that.
No, man.
Crawford keeps asking Lee if he can search his car. Lee keeps saying no. He's getting frustrated.
Can I search car?
No.
Quit doing the clenching your fist thing, too.
Dude, that's some bullshit, man.
What's bull crap?
Fucking only day I got off, I just want to go home.
Okay, well,
you'll
unfortunately,
go
you did a traffic violation right in front of us. Just do me a favor, hang tight. I'm going to talk to my canine partner, okay?
Hey, whatever.
This 18-year-old kid is nervously complaining about being stopped. Detective Hellard, an adult who is armed and has all the power in this situation, he doesn't like that.
Quit with the attitude. He's not giving you an attitude, and I'm not giving you an attitude.
I understand.
We deal with violent crime all day, every day. We're going to stop 30 more people after you. As soon as we get down here, you'll go home, okay? If you're wasting our time and we're wasting your time, I'm sorry for the small inconvenience. We're allowed to get people out of the car. Your heart is beating through your chest when you're on the phone with your mama, and you're narrating to your mom, Mom, I stopped by the police. This is where I'm at. They're getting me out of the car. Oh my gosh. Yeah. When you do all that, it's the same thing that people do when they're trying to hide something from the police and they're trying to take the situation off of it.
While Hellard is delivering this lecture, Crawford gets the canine unit involved. The dog walks around the exterior and apparently detects something.
Canine indication at 1810. Yeah.
That's all the justification they need to search the car. The detectives put Lee in handcuffs.
Put your hands behind your back real quick.
The
dog indicated on your vehicle. I don't know what's in your car, but like I said, I don't want you to run. So you're still just being detained. You're not free to go, but you're not under arrest at this time. I just don't want you to go anywhere, okay? But I'm not going to fight you, and I'm certainly not going to chase you.
But once the dog gets inside the car, he's not finding anything. Crawford pats Lee down, reaching his pockets, feeling around his sweatpants. He gets nothing. They run a criminal check. Nothing. Crawford starts writing Lee up for a traffic violation. But they keep him handcuffed on the side of a busy thoroughfare in his neighborhood. An officer has emptied out his car. A dog is digging around in it. All because of a wide turn. A thing I didn't even realize was illegal until I saw this video back in 2018. A thing I, as a white woman, have never been stopped for. It's at this moment that Detective Hellard decides to have some real talk with Taeon Lee.
Why do you have, if you don't mind me asking, why do you have, like, this negative view towards the police? What's ever happened in your life personally where you're like, you can give me a good explanation?
Absolutely nothing.
Really?
Fucking graduated. I got a good-ass job.
Right.
Yeah, I graduated with 3-4 Ironman scholarships. I never did shit in my life. I've been in the house all day.
So what's the problem? Like, why are we in this situation?
You? Huh?
Hellard asks, why are we in this situation? Taeon Lee responds, you. This is 2018. Just 2 years prior, Police Chief Steve Conrad had stood in a conference room and explained his department's commitment to community policing, trust, legitimacy, procedural justice. This idea that when you have an interaction with the police,
and you come away from that interaction or come away with that feeling like you were treated fairly. You may still have a ticket, you may still be arrested, but you felt like that officer treated you with dignity and with respect.
What the hell happened to this model city in those 2 years? To go from touting procedural justice to getting a canine unit involved after an 18-year-old takes a turn too wide. This is Dig, Season 2, The Model City, from the Kentucky Center for Investigative Reporting and Newsy. I'm Eleanor Klibanoff. I told you last episode about the community forums the police department hosted in 2016, where they laid out their plans to implement 21st century policing. Those were low-key affairs. Folding chairs, spotty AV service, peanut butter crackers. But around the same time, across town, there was another forum, the Louisville Forum, a monthly lunch event where movers and shakers gather to discuss important issues.
We meet on the second Wednesday of every month at Vincenzo's Restaurant.
Vincenzo's is a white tablecloth restaurant with a dress code in its dining room. Guests pay $25 a seat for this event.
The forum hosts debates and discussions of contemporary and sometimes controversial public policy issues that affect the greater Louisville community.
In July 2016, the Louisville Forum hosted LMPD Chief Steve Conrad. But unlike those other community forums, Conrad wasn't there to get people on board with 21st century policing. He was there to talk about fighting crime, and specifically, the city's rising homicide numbers.
Last year, we had 80 people killed in our community, the most we've seen killed since 1980. And I am so worried that if the trend continues this year, we could find ourselves topping that. My goal is to stop it and to do whatever we can to stop it.
Conrad didn't stop it. Louisville saw 117 homicides that year. At that point, the most in decades. The homicide surge touched every corner of this city, but it hit the West End particularly hard.
A bloody 24 hours in Louisville pushes the city into its deadliest year in history.
Violence on the streets of Louisville is spiraling out of control.
We were only 6 days into 2016 when Louisville saw its first homicide of the year.
It used to be every other month.
you might hear something. Now it's every other minute. And then we done cut down to the seconds now.
So in 2016, Louisville was trying to tackle two problems simultaneously: rising homicide numbers and diminished trust between police and citizens, which had come into sharp focus after Ferguson. The good news is, these two goals don't have to be at odds with each other. You can fight crime while building community trust. In fact, a lot of 21st century policing is built on the premise that the police can only effectively fight crime when they have trust and legitimacy in the eyes of the community. That's what Conrad said at the community forum, the peanut butter crackers forum, not the white tablecloth one.
I mean, if we cannot work hard enough to earn your trust, we're going to have an awfully hard time making Louisville a safer city and making it the place that you all want it to be.
We know what Louisville was doing to tackle the community trust problem. They were embracing the tenets of 21st century policing, overhauling training, promising to build community relationships, starting the Clergy Police Academy, bringing DJ Justice out to fairs and festivals. But to get a handle on the rising crime numbers, Louisville took a different approach, though one that would seem fairly familiar to some in the West End. For a few years prior to this, LMPD had a unit called VIPER, the Violent Incident Prevention Enforcement and Response Unit. These 30 or so plainclothes detectives became known for aggressive traffic stops and officer scandals. In June 2015, a group of protesters marched to police headquarters downtown and posted a list of demands on the door, including that the department disband the VIPER unit. Just 2 months later, the department did get rid of VIPER. But they replaced it with something very similar that would prove to be just as controversial.
Overnight, while most sleep, LMPD's 9th Mobile Division is just getting started.
LMPD has 8 divisions. 9th Mobile was an additional violent crime unit that was deployed to different high-crime areas around the city.
You could focus on, you know, the most violent people in the most violent places.
That's former LMPD Deputy Chief Michael Sullivan. He now works for the Baltimore Police Department. But back in 2016, he helped oversee the department's implementation of 21st century policing. After all the controversy that the VIPER unit attracted, the only real change was that 9th Mobile officers would wear dark shirts and vests that identified them as police officers. They didn't even change up the roster that much. We found that when 9th Mobile was created, more than 3/4 of officers in the unit had been in VIPER when it disbanded. 9th Mobile was part of LMPD's People, Places, and Narcotics strategy, targeting repeat offenders, high crime areas, and drug trafficking. Sullivan says with violent crime on the rise, the city had to act.
When the house is on fire, you have to put it out before you start rebuilding it.
But this came at a cost, Sullivan says. 9th Mobile was completely oppositional to the idea of community-oriented policing. It's hard to walk a beat if the whole city is your jurisdiction.
We did see reductions in crime with that. The next question is, what was the cost of that crime reduction?
Kevin Trees witnessed the impact of these strategies firsthand. Trees retired in 2019 after 20 years with LMPD, most of it in the West End. He says he had good community relationships, knew the players, knew Bishop Dennis Lyons.
Oh, I know Bishop Lyons well. He knows me. He couldn't say trees. He'd say tree. Officer tree. I know. In his gas station chapel.
In 2016, Trees was a sergeant in the 2nd Division, which covers parts of the West End. He says they often didn't even know 9th Mobile had been working in their neighborhood until after they'd left.
9th Mobile would run across one of our regulars, people that we knew, people that we developed a relationship with. And quite often, after they're done with their whatever they were stopping that person for, our next interaction with that person was just a little bit more uncooperative, just a little bit more unfriendly, just a little bit less helpful.
Trees saw the value in having a specialized unit to deal with violent crime. But he says 9th Mobile's tactics often end up causing problems for the rest of the department. And over time, these aggressive policing strategies spread far beyond that one small unit. Police Chief Steve Conrad called 9th Mobile the tip of the spear of the department's tactics. And Mayor Greg Fisher touted the unprecedented resources he was pouring into fighting violent crime. But remember, Louisville wasn't just trying to fight crime. They were also trying to build trust and legitimacy and community relationships. But those efforts didn't seem to get nearly the same resources. Here's Trees again.
We simply do not have the manpower to be able to get out on the streets and make the runs and get with the community and just be available for anything. We just don't have the time anymore.
Now, to be fair, LMPD did hire more officers using a federal grant to focus on community policing. Here's Mayor Greg Fisher at a 2016 press conference.
We're adding 10 officers to the community policing effort, freeing them from responding to 911 calls so they can better get to know young people and other citizens in all of our neighborhoods, and especially those neighborhoods with higher crime rates.
We spoke with Lori Robinson, who co-chaired the task force that created the 21st Century Policing Report, and told her about Louisville's community policing unit.
Community policing has to be the culture of the entire department. It's not setting up one unit that has five people on bicycles riding around.
She's speaking generally, but Robinson was so surprised by what we told her about LMPD's community policing unit that she actually paused our interview to read directly from the report.
Community policing 4.2 should be infused throughout the culture and organizational structure of law enforcement agencies. It must be a way of doing business by an entire police force, not just a specialized unit of the force. I haven't read that in a while, but it's certainly definitely true. Yep. Yeah, that's bad.
Kevin Trees thinks so too. He says this community policing unit felt more like PR than meaningful change.
If you're going to try to change the perception of a neighborhood, and in my experience, the West End of Louisville, you can't go out on that block on a Thursday afternoon for 1 hour, walk around, say, hey, 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 to people, and then go away. And I'll be back next week for an hour. That's not what it's going to take. You know, it's going to take a full-time effort.
LMPD was certainly portraying this as a full-time, full-department effort. Conrad said in July 2016 that they'd documented more than 1,000 times that year that officers had gotten out of their cars to talk with community members. That sounds impressive, until you remember there were roughly 1,000 officers at LMPD at that time. That comes to about one interaction per officer. This community policing unit is just one example of a larger phenomenon. Over the last year, I interviewed lots of people who have touched Louisville's implementation of 21st century policing. Council people, community activists, police officers. Many of them, unprompted, used the same phrase.
They checked a bunch of boxes to say that they were 21st century.
We talk about checkbox reform.
And a checkbox.
I don't know why it became a checkbox, but it says walk in the neighborhood. And once a week, the chief, Conrad, would come and they walk. But then pretty soon it became... We walk him as soon as the cameras leave. Let's go.
Take that clergy police academy that Bishop Dennis Lyons was so excited about. LMPD noted this initiative in their workbook as an example of building relationships with the clergy. Lyons says more than 100 pastors attended over the years. With homicides surging, Lyons was hoping the police would call on them to help comfort grieving families, de-escalate possible retaliation, and work with the police to build community relationships. But he says that's not what happened.
Never one time called that team together. Now, we're talking about 2015, 16, 17, 18, 19. I never did get a chance to ask, what was the problem? We have your certificate. We have the willing person, the willing ministers.
In a statement, an LMPD spokesperson said they have called on the clergy to come out to crime scenes in the past, and they're working now to reinvigorate that effort. But Lyons says there was never a widespread effort the way he had hoped. Lyons thought this was the problem with the department's whole approach to reform.
The police were always ready for us to attend their seminars, but they were never willing to attend our seminars. So it became one-sided. Still became that same mentality of master, slave.
LMPD didn't grant us an interview with department leadership, but in a statement, they said that while the department had successfully implemented aspects of 21st century policing, they had faced challenges with others. They said the department had undergone significant leadership change since that time, and now they look forward to developing a strong and proud relationship with the community. But back in 2016, while touting these reform efforts, the department continued to invest in and invigorate their efforts to fight violent crime, despite the potential cost to public trust. Take the Flex Platoons. Each of the 8 divisions had a group of detectives who worked in the neighborhood, but could also be called upon to do violent crime or narcotics assignments. Because they were based in the communities that they served, they avoided a lot of the major controversy that the citywide units attracted. They were even popular with some people.
I know these guys. My community knows these guys. They trust these guys and women.
Metro Councilwoman Sherry Bryant-Hamilton spoke about the Flex Platoons at a hearing in 2016. Bryant-Hamilton represented parts of the West End at that time.
They're my eyes and ears. They're your eyes and ears, my constituents' eyes and ears on the ground. My constituents have their phone numbers, know how to reach them.
This hearing was called by a Metro Council committee because in 2016, Conrad announced that LMPD was disbanding the Flex Platoons. They were going to take those detectives out of the divisions, out of the neighborhoods they worked in, and assign them to high-priority citywide teams, a SWAT unit and narcotics.
If you take all of this resources to a central narcotics division, what are we going to be left with?
The outcry was swift from all sides. Flex officers attended this hearing, as did community members, speaking out in support of the units. At the hearing, Councilmember David James, a former LMPD narcotics detective, asked Conrad about how this reorganization aligned with the department's stated policing philosophy.
And I have one last question. Are any of the changes related to the 21st century policing study that you all are implementing, I guess is the best way to say that?
Chief Conrad said no. But he took the opportunity to talk about how great 21st century policing was and how important it was to his department.
The 21st century policing plan is something that we've embraced. We've been invited to the White House a number of times to talk about what we're doing here. We're being held up as a model for what a community can do.
More than a minute later, he got back to the point.
Part of that process. But a long answer to your simple question, these changes are not related to the 21st century policing plan. Right. They may complement it, but they were not related or because of it.
None of this was a complement to 21st century policing. It was taking officers from the communities where they were based and putting them on citywide violent crime units. Over the next few years, these citywide units led the rest of the department in a policing strategy that targeted the West End with aggressive traffic stops and maximum enforcement. Which brings us back to the intersection of Dixie and Algonquin and Taeon Lee's bright orange Dodge Charger on the side of the road. The detectives who got Taeon Lee on the sidewalk, set a dog on his car, handcuffed him, patted him down, they were with the 9th Mobile Division. That's why they were sitting in unmarked cars at the gas station. Lee later said that's why he was so confused.
They was in unmarked cars. They didn't have on, you know, the normal police uniform. Typically, I assume that officers like them are looking for drugs or guns.
Detectives Hellard and Crawford didn't respond to requests for comment. Crawford later said in a deposition that he believed Lee was involved in criminal activity because he was slow to pull over and he didn't tell the officers there was a baseball bat in the car. Body camera footage shows Lee putting on his blinker to pull over immediately after the sirens start. Hellard told LMPD investigators that Lee was, quote, verbally aggressive. He said when Lee answered the phone call from his mother, he created a safety issue for the officers. Lee has filed a federal lawsuit against the officers who stopped him. He declined our interview request through his lawyer, but he and his mother, Taya Jackson, spoke to the Metro Council in 2019 about this experience.
The last thing I heard was, Mama, they taking me out of the vehicle. So I probably broke every traffic infraction there was at that time. So when I pulled up, my son was, at that time, being turned around and handcuffed. And the dogs were, you know, the dog was going through my car.
Jackson was terrified. Her son was around the same age as Michael Brown was when he was killed by Ferguson police, and Laquan McDonald when he was killed by Chicago police. Jackson had ingrained in her son, keep your hands on the wheel, don't reach for your license, don't reach for your insurance. Don't give them a reason.
He's got family showing up when their calls are ruckus.
Jackson tries to get to her son, and Detective Kevin Crawford stops her. They exchange words.
Okay. He didn't give you permission.
Okay,
to
we don't need his permission,
yes,
ma'am.
Yes, you do.
We had a positive indication by the canine, okay?
Oh, my God.
So, ma'am, you guys are more than welcome to watch, videotape, whatever. Just do me a favor. Give us some room and stay over here, please. Ma'am, please stay over here. You're trespassing on private property right now.
It's for sale.
Ma'am. Stay over there, please.
No,
if you approach my traffic stop, I will take you. Ma'am, if you approach my traffic stop, I will take you to jail.
That
I don't
is my
care.
Car.
I do not
I
care.
I don't care either.
You know what? Okay, great.
Crawford stalks off. Eventually, once they realize they're not going to find drugs in Lee's car, Detective Jeffrey McCauley goes over to talk with Jackson.
If it's a wrong turn, give him a ticket. You don't have to bring
that's
the
not what we're out here for, okay?
What are you out here for?
So we're a violent crime unit, okay? We don't pick and choose where we work. We are told by our commanders, by the chief's office, and all that is based off of criminal violence statistics.
Detective McCauley said he wasn't allowed to comment for this story, citing pending litigation. LMPD claimed to be targeting the most dangerous parts of the city to apprehend the most dangerous people, the murderers, the gun runners, the drug kingpins. But these detectives have spent almost half an hour detaining Tae-on Lee. At one point, they say the dog seems fixated on his wallet and ask him if maybe someone who had used drugs later touched his wallet. A kingpin, Tae-on Lee is not. That's what Taya Jackson is trying to explain to the officers.
I appreciate y'all being out here for violent crimes.
No
you
one.
You run his name, he's never been in JCYC, nothing. He got a job.
No like, one said he was a violent crime.
No one said he was. No reason for him to be out the car handcuffed right now.
Can you tell me? Can you tell me how to pick out violent crime? Can you tell me how?
I don't need to tell you how because they can run across the street too fast and you'll say it's violent. It don't matter.
Jackson and Detective McCauley argue a bit more until she walks off. Later, he talks with one of the other officers.
She's making up stuff. It's a disease. She'll spill that over the internet, and it'll have 1,000 likes before you know it. And none of it's true.
Just watching this video, you can feel the contempt between the officers and Jackson. You can almost see the gulf between the police and the community widening the longer this stop goes on. Eventually, with nothing left to hold him on, the detectives uncuff Lee, return his ID and his keys, and let him go, with a traffic citation. Tae-on Lee was exactly the kind of person LMPD should have been trying to build a relationship with. A young black man who says, before this, he didn't have much of an issue with the police. He could have become a David McAtee, a Bishop Lyons, an ally in the department's effort to bridge the divide between police and the West End. But that's not what happened.
This experience has definitely changed my view by the saying, you know, if you ain't do nothing wrong, then you ain't got nothing to worry about. But that's obviously not true in this situation. Coming out of high school, you know, to the real world, only a couple months graduated, and then, you know, this is my view of the police due to the car that I drive and color of my skin. It's not a good way to, you know, view the police.
Detective McCauley was right about one thing. Taya Jackson uploaded the body camera footage from this stop, and it exploded. On one YouTube channel, the video got more than 1 million views. But it's not just this one stop. Take Kevin Crawford, the officer who pulled Tae-on Lee over.
So there's no guns in the car? Any knives?
At least three of his traffic stops, initiated in just 1 6-week period, have generated lawsuits over allegations of racially biased policing and internal investigations by LMPD. A lot of officers with the 9th Mobile Unit have generated complaints. Newsy's data reporter analyzed the department's disciplinary database. And even by her conservative calculations, officers with 9th Mobile were nearly 3 times as likely to be investigated as the rest of the force. And 9th Mobile's tactics have faced scrutiny at the highest levels. We found at least 4 criminal cases where the judge threw out evidence after they determined that the unit's search was unconstitutional. LMPD knew that 9th Mobile had the potential to burn trust, to weaken the department's legitimacy, to get in the way of their efforts to build a better, safer, more equitable police department. In Louisville, crime fighting and community policing became a tug of war. And they let crime fighting win every time. Homicides did recede in Louisville after that record-setting 2016. Chief Conrad told the Metro Council that this was proof that this traffic stop tactic was working.
Looking at some statistics from last year, 1 in 10 cars that we stopped in the 2nd Police Division led to the discovery of guns, drugs, or both. So it's not like we're out stopping this and not getting anything from it.
But that means 9 out of every 10 traffic stops were people like Tae-on Lee. No guns, no drugs, but still getting stopped, hassled, inconvenienced, or maybe even handcuffed, standing on the side of the road while the police set a dog on their car. Nearly a year after Taeyeon Lee was stopped, Chief Conrad did modify the department's traffic stop policy, specifying that merely being nervous or in a high-crime area did not justify getting drivers out of their car or handcuffing them. Taya Jackson told the Courier-Journal that she was happy Conrad was trying to, quote, bridge the gap between the community and the police. This was in May 2019, a full 3 years after LMPD had been invited to the White House for its policing reform efforts. The traffic citation against Taeyeon Lee was dismissed in court. He has a federal civil rights lawsuit pending against Crawford, LMPD leadership, and the other officers who pulled him over. 2 years later, the department finally closed its internal investigation, saying they would have concluded that Crawford had done nothing wrong in the Lee stop, without even interviewing him. But by that time, Crawford had resigned from LMPD and immediately joined the Jeffersonville Police Department across the river in Indiana. All three cases against Crawford were closed by exception, without discipline, after he left the department. This wasn't an oversight or a crack in the system. It was LMPD's disciplinary system working exactly the way it was designed. And that's what we have to talk about next. Because you can't fully understand what was happening out on the streets until you understand what was going on inside the department.
This officer is still out doing whatever he's...
Shooting people.
Discipline was almost consistently always appealed.
Next time on Dig.
This season of Dig was reported by Eleanor Klibanoff with the Kentucky Center for Investigative Reporting and Carrie Cochran, Karen Rodriguez, Maya Rosenfeld, and Marin Macklis with Newsy. It was produced by Eleanor Klibanoff, edited by Kate Howard, Laura Ellis, and Ellen Weiss. Data reporting by Rosie Chima and Mark Fahey. Production assistance from Rip Reinhart and Chris Julin. Field producing by Zach Cusan, Mai Nolasco Carranza, Tyler Franklin, and Chelsea Ketchum. Kojin Toshiro created our theme music with Ryan Marsh. Fact-checking by Kelvin Bias. Alex Cooper is our intern. We receive support for this project from the Fund for Investigative Journalism.
Support for LPM Podcasts comes from the Eye Care Institute and Butchertown Clinical Trials, where they strive for diversity, equity, and inclusion within their staff, patients, and clinical trial participants. To learn more, visit butchertown.clinic.